Ride your bike on the Story Bridge or Ivory Street Tunnel. The Tour de Brisbane is coming on Sunday, 14th of April. Mums, dads, kids, register for the community ride sponsored by the Sunday Mail at tourdebrisbane.org. The Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey there, welcome to the catch-up. Very nice of you to join us. Make sure you subscribe. Payne Haas stood down from the Broncos for about a month. His mum involved now, been charged, Marta.
What a story it is. It started with a game of touch footy and finished with a brawl. Payne Haas, he's saying nothing about it, but his mum's on an assault charge. It is, there is angles all over the place with this one.
Pauline Hanson.
I find it so fascinating that he got a $20,000 fine.
Yes.
For not doing anything wrong. And there's people that do stuff wrong.
And get
no fine.
For instance, most bankers. And they're all right. Good to go.
When are we going to throw a banker in jail?
Oh, I don't know what happened.
It's
Bankers must have nudes of every politician or something. They've got something.
That's unfortunate.
George Pell, like, we haven't spoken about that. Did you see who was saying he's in between? Some Bourke Street killer is on one
terrorist.
Side. Who was on the other side?
Someone's brother.
Terror plots.
That's where we should put the bosses of the four banks. They should be in jail with those blokes. And maybe then they come out and go, oh, I've learned a lesson. I'll drop those interest rates immediately. Sorry about that.
they do very well, the old bankers, to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
Pauline Hanson's face has been attacked by a tick. Not showing
it. I want to know where. Where was it attacked?
Well, did it actually have a K on the end of it? Like, or was it a... You know, like when you're
like a facial
a bit twitchy.
Yeah. No, I think it's got a K. It's an insect. An insect attack.
She's had too many Red Bulls.
usually they only crawl inside warm things. So I don't know what it was doing attacking
Paul Hanson. Oh, nasty.
Political.
No, I looked it up. It turns out they can go into reptiles.
There it is as well. An incredible jet ski story. A man trying to escape Australia for Papua New Guinea.
Oh, can we get some Kiwis setting sail for home on jet skis? Oh, didn't make it. Oh, another one didn't make it.
You won't believe what he was armed with as well.
Well, what I love about that I just think the Sydney to Hobart, that's for rich hoity-toity people.
Oh, my God.
I reckon you should do the Gold Coast to Cairns jet ski race.
Oh, my God.
Every year.
That's brilliant.
That is brilliant.
I would be in that.
I want to see it. So this guy, so he got it. Where did he start?
He started near Cape York. He just backed the Subaru into the water.
That's where the race starts. So you get a Subaru, you drive it to Cape York.
You don't just leave it in the water for the tide to gobble
it
up.
Leave the car in the water,
and
it's
then
gone.
You're off.
Yeah.
With a crossbow.
All the way to Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
And then you got to play 80 minutes for the Intrust Super Cup team over
against
there.
Against the headhunters.
Yes.
That's it.
With a crossbow.
I just want to hear the different jet ski, because like you've got the yachts in that, the Sydney to Hobart. It's like the Wild Oats Winery yacht. I just want the like Woodstock Cola Can jet ski has taken the lead, followed by the Tui's Extra Dry six pack.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey, let's head out to Aspley to Kirby Road to the Devils, where I grew up. From 6 years of age, I started playing for the Devils. Dobbo's down there this morning. Hello, mate.
Yeah, g'day, guys. What a little nursery of rugby league this is, the Aspley Devils. Created some of the great rugby league players. One G Martin wasn't good enough. He went to rugby union.
That's right. Couldn't find room. Hey, Dobbo, I watched it on the news last night. I was trying to tell these guys. They didn't see you, but you were at Valleys last night reporting for Channel 9 News, being the NRL insider, and you started to unveil the story about Payne Haas, who, of course, is suspended for 4 matches, got a $20,000 fine. You told us more. Can you tell these guys what was going on?
Yeah, look, this was obviously has been handled by the police, and I just want to say that I've gone from a rugby league insider to now an official court reporter and crime investigator after last night. But
explain that, Dobbo, for everyone. Dobbo had a woman in the darkness telling her story because she didn't wish to be identified.
Ooh.
That's correct. What happened was last year at a women's grand final in August at Valley's Diehards, kids were playing football on the field. They were playing touch football. They were confronted by a group. Now, that group included the whole Haas family, his girlfriend, his mum, Payne, and there was obviously a melee afterwards. And this lady claimed that she was assaulted by one of the Haas family. Now, no witnesses backed that up. She's sticking by her word, but the police didn't lay any charges on Payne. But his mother was charged with assault, and there's still some more investigations.
That is rugby league.
There's still some more investigations going. Yeah, but look, it's a really bad blight on the game regardless. And she's obviously very traumatised. She wanted to tell her side of the story. She didn't want to be identified. She was asked if she could be blacked out as such and just only her silhouette. Mm. We did that, and we got the interview.
And what was so Payne Haas, he's in trouble because he never told anyone about this.
Well, he never told anybody. He wouldn't. And look, in some ways, I'm not justifying, but he's defended his family, and he refused to cooperate with the NRL Integrity Unit at that stage in regard to it. It's been investigated. I will say the police will not charge Payne Haas. He will not be charged for anything. He is cleared. Obviously, he's serving out a four-match suspension and a $20,000 fine from the Brisbane Broncos. You'll see him back in round five. But, as I repeated, his mother has been charged.
That is full on. Well, can we talk about tonight's game?
Yeah. Don't you love how I've become a crime reporter?
Just I know, like, Dubbo.
Rugby league. Now this. Look, tonight, it's all about St. George and the Brisbane Broncos. And one bloke who was man of the match last week, Tevita Pangai Jr., everybody's talking about him, but he's off contract at the end of this year. He refused to sign any longer than a one-year deal. The Broncos, and Anthony Seibold talked about it yesterday, they'd love him, but they're not convinced. It's about consistency with these young forwards. But they're talking $1 million a year in Sydney. Some clubs are prepared to try and throw at him. Now, I spoke to St. George coach yesterday, Mary McGregor, and I said, is he worth it? He said, well, not to us, he's not. We haven't got the room. But he said there are clubs in Sydney, and he's heard it, that would pay $1 million a year for
like
him.
Like who?
Brisbane's money. Oh, well, you always got to look at the blue chippers. You'd think the Roosters would be lining up front and centre. They sort of have an endless salary cap.
Come on. Haven't they got Cooper Cronk on $1 million a year already?
Well, he's retiring at the end of the year, so there's a perfect
free it
switch.
Up. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, look, you talk about those blue chips. I know that, obviously, the Broncos want to keep him. They took him from Canberra. He came here because Wayne Bennett got him here. Which says, when I talked to Wayne Bennett, I said a couple of weeks ago, what is your side missing? And he said, we're missing an impact player like Tevita Pangai Jr. Now they're off. They're there next year. What's the chances? They've said already, we can't afford him, but please, we know that won't come into it. If he wants him, Wayne Bennett will go after him. Who knows what's going to happen? He won't be at Brisbane if it's that kind of money, because Brisbane haven't got anywhere near that kind of dough.
Is everyone clear? He is a New South Welshman. He is going to play for New South
100%.
Wales in Origin this year. So do we really feel like he's been around? I don't know. Because he'll go into their Origin camp and one of their blokes will work hard on him, and next thing you know, after Origin's over, he'll go, I'm leaving the Broncos. That's how it always plays out.
Marto, here's the thing that everybody needs to be scared about for the Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah.
Jack Bird, Matt Lodge, Payne Haas, you took James Roberts, and now potentially Tevita Pangai Jr. There's a chance that the Brisbane Broncos could have more players playing for New South Wales in the state of origin than Queenslanders in their side. Brisbane's team has five dead set potential New South Wales origin players in it this year.
Dobbo, I don't know if you heard this, but I heard that Penrith may be able to afford him, but they've just got to wait until Dole Day. Is there any truth to those claims?
Where do I go with that?
Dobbo, can I agree? After your last previous one, can I just check? There are less Queenslanders in the Broncos than New South Wales and New Zealand born players, correct?
Well, if you
check that and get back to me, because
correct.
I believe that's true.
Yeah, that's
a real worry. If we're supposed to be one of the nurseries of rugby league in Australia, that's a worry that we're dominated by people from outside.
Have kneecapped them then?
Well, there's Queenslanders playing elsewhere.
He could. I'll be back reporting crime, Robin.
Thanks, Dobbo.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
It is the front page of today's paper. It was the number one story on the news last night. It is about Queensland hospitals. Apparently, they are absolutely chockers.
Patients are still being treated in so-called non-bed situations, whatever that means, and all 10 hospitals are still on code yellow. That means that emergency procedures remain in place and the public is still being asked to stay away unless it is urgent.
Sorry, did I just hear a news reporter say non-bed situation, whatever that means? Mate, that's your job.
They're hanging out in cupboards in hospitals,
it
apparently.
It must be in corridors. They said in lounge areas and also just in chairs in the corridors, they're getting treated. They took it really seriously. They all went crazy in state parliament accusing, what have you done with the health system? Well, it was your fault from years ago. Well, you're handling it now. Oh, God, they went nuts. But they said, righto, too many old people, too many people go to hospital for non-urgent requirements. And what was it? The changing of the seasons. They were trying to blame everything for all the full hospitals at the moment.
I'll put my hand up for the changing of the seasons. I guarantee the two times that I am most likely to end up in hospital with an asthma attack are in April and in September. And it goes from when it, which is exactly what it's done. It goes from super hot, then cold, and my lungs go, whoa, people. So that could also be a problem.
You have a listen to this bloke, okay? He was on. Bill, he's a security guard, so they played his voice and he told him, would you wait this long to get into the hospital? And that's what they're saying. There's enormous waiting queues. This is Bill, all right?
I have been on duty at Logan Hospital on a Friday and returned on a Tuesday after my days off, and the same patient has been there.
He's moved
sure
in.
He's got, yeah, I was going to say.
Moved into the corridor. Is that person staying there? Like, have they had...
But he's still waiting. No, he's not in a bed. Like, that's okay. Some people are 5 days in hospital, but they have a horizontal bed. This bloke sounds like he's just been living out of the vending machine waiting to see a doctor.
How bored would you be? Oh,
you would be so bored. You know, you'd be so bored.
Still sitting there 5 days later. Guess what? You're fine.
Yes, you better. We cured you.
That's the true test.
Mind you, though, I would love to know, how long have you stayed in a hospital waiting room? What was it for and which hospital?
Right. Maxie, our producer, he used to play footy. He said he had a cut that needed 6 stitches under his chin, 6 hours. He waited in an emergency because it was a Friday night and there's people who take drugs go to emergency on a Friday night. Five hours to get five or six stitches.
Okay, well, let that be our starting point. If it's more than 5 hours, what were you in there for, which hospital, and how long did it take? Kyle of Albany Creek, what happened?
I was doing night work and, just needed to receive 7 stitches to my arm. Went in there to get that looked at and basically... I was waiting around 4 hours and someone come in complaining of a sore hip. Someone else was in there getting a splinter removed. Like such basic procedures that could just go to a normal GP for.
Yeah. I've heard if you've got blood coming out of you, don't they prioritise or did these splinters move in front of you?
They were later, but yeah, it was still like... Is there any reason to really be at the hospital for a splinter?
Nah.
No, except for the fact that it's free. That's why, because people don't want to actually pay to go to doctors. Yeah. But Naomi of Mango Hill, thank you, Kyle. Naomi, what happened? How long?
About 5 hours. I had a netball injury and fractured my tibia and fibula, snapped my ACL, ruptured the vertebra behind the knee. Mm-hmm. And
from netball?
Yeah, from netball. Got kicked.
Oh my goodness.
Someone kicked you in netball? All right,
that's interference for sure.
Yes,
it's got to be.
I hope that got you a penalty. Now, wasn't it quite obvious you were in terrible, terrible pain?
It was, but they were absolutely run off their feet. So after my x-ray, because the x-ray didn't show anything because the swelling was so bad, they just said go to my GP the next day, and sort of that's when I got all of the tests done and they saw how significant the injury was.
Oh, you poor thing. So how long did you wait at the hospital before you were told to go to your GP?
Oh, 5 hours.
Painkillers? Did you get pain?
Panadol, yeah.
God.
Oh, no. Naomi. All right. You're winning so far.
Well, is it really a win?
Well, Liam of Wynnum, what happened? How long?
I got stuck in the Royal Brisbane for 11 hours with a shattered wrist and dislocated wrist and then asked to leave without it being fixed.
Did you put your hand up occasionally and go, hold on, I'm in a lot of pain? Or what did you see moving in front of you? Were there any splinters?
Well, when in the hospital, it was what was in front of me were constant drug overdoses and alcohol poisonings because it was ran into a Saturday night. Happened rock climbing on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I didn't want to burden the ambulance drivers, so we just drove ourselves to the hospital after making makeshift splint to hold my arm in place. Got there, kept getting put back. During the day, I saw major accidents like car accident, motorbike accident come in. I'm like, yeah, they're worse than me. They can go ahead. That's not a problem. But after, you know, half a dozen drug overdoses and a lot of alcohol poisoning is coming in, you start getting irritated.
I bet you did.
I hadn't eaten at all that day because I didn't want to eat before going rock climbing. I was actually planning on eating up top of the mountain.
Yes.
Didn't quite get there.
So you were hangry as well.
Always have lunch at sea level.
Very hangry.
Vending machines.
They end up telling me I should just leave and go and find my own surgeon.
Oh, God.
Oh, my. Cool. That's terrible.
What a suggestion.
And are you all right
have
now?
Have you heard of Google?
Was this a long time ago, Liam?
It was about a year and a half ago, or a year and 3 months. It was literally a few days before Christmas.
It sounds to me like if you've got a major injury, you need to see a doctor. You need to get really drunk or on drugs and then go back in and go, yeah. Oh, while I'm here, can I get you to look at my broken wrist? Yeah.
That's what you've got to do. Have 10 beers and rock up and go, yeah, I'm pregnant. This is the only way I could get in.
Big breakfast. Triple M.
Oh. Triple M's big breakfast.
Yesterday afternoon, my wife and I had a bit of a situation that made me realise how lucky I am to be with her. Now, when people talk about the traits that they want in a partner, they talk about things like emotional maturity, sense of humour,
yeah,
love of travel, garbage, garbage, garbage.
Oh, right? There okay, is one why? Thing.
Well, they're all just stock standard. We know that they're just things that you say. You know what I mean? It's like when people say, I love travel and food. Yeah, of course. We all do. You know what I mean? They're just
yeah,
stock
right.
standard
cool.
things. But there are important things that are barely spoken about that I think are far more important. It was in the middle of the afternoon. I had the radio show in the morning. Then I had work for an upcoming comedy festival. I get home. Luch had been out all day. We were both hangry, which if you don't know,
oh, no, we know.
Angry from hunger.
God, yeah.
And
yeah.
Teenage sons, I know
well,
what hangry is.
Do they all get hangry?
Oh, yeah. Like, it is absolutely a thing. It's like a medical condition. It happens so often, but they don't recognise it. And if they just start to get really cranky and just won't talk and start grunting and start, yeah, they're hangry.
It's every man, though. It's not just a kid thing. It's every man gets it. I've never seen a woman that gets hangry, though.
Oh, right. My wife gets hangry. And we laugh because we realise when we're both hangry, when we start, you start limiting the actual food you want to eat down to the dump because you're hungry. Hungry. Your brain's not working right. It's like, no, 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 I don't want that. I don't want that. And really, you could just eat a slice
anything.
Of white bread
yep.
and you'd feel better. No butter
on
it.
Do you know the thing that gets me with hangry, though? And I had this situation only happened last week with my husband, Sean. And my boys do this too. And you say, buddy, you're just hangry. Can you just eat something? And they're like, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not hungry. And I'm like, no,
the first sign,
you
though.
Are. Yeah. We have this
you
fight.
You don't ask them, though. I find you just put food in front of them and away they go and that's all. It's all fixed up, though. Is that how you fixed it yesterday? You eat food
it's
and it's amazing.
Yeah, and you can eat anything, right? You can you could have a handful of sugar. Who cares? Just get something in your gob. Eat a banana. Don't take the skin off. It doesn't matter what you eat. Whatever you get in your gob, you're going to feel better immediately. And my ex-girlfriend didn't get hangry. So she never understood. It used to make me so frustrated. But she smoked. So I was like, hey, you know when you don't have a smoke for a bit and you get smokery? I'll assume that's the
smokery.
You get smokery?
Nicotine deficient? I don't know. Yeah. What is?
Yeah.
I will
it's
say
like,
the,
it's like that, but food.
The one that I would say with Sean for me, because I'm dyslexic and I find paperwork really, really difficult. It freaks me out like nothing on this planet. Mm. And in fact, so much so that I said in my wedding vows, you know, that I will try not to get freaked out when I see paperwork. Yeah. But he just goes, it's okay, like a bill will arrive and it's like got lots of forms to fill out. This is true love. That man takes the envelope, fills out the forms and then presents it back to me and says, sign here.
At your wedding, did they finish the vows and then you said, do I? And he's like, hold on, am I marrying Yoda? It's meant to be I do, Robin.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey, we were talking yesterday about One Nation and that trouble they had with the Al Jazeera investigation. Yeah. That was part one. If you don't remember, one of their senators and also the 2IC to Pauline Hanson, they blamed their link with NRA and them looking for money on alcohol.
We'd arrived in America, we'd got on the sauce, we'd had a few drinks.
All right.
Got on the sauce and had a few drinks.
I don't know what that means, but all right, that's why they did that. That was part one. The part two went to air last night and it at some stage during it, Pauline Hanson appeared to be, well, the audio was poor, but Pauline Hanson appeared to question whether the 1996 massacre at Port Arthur, Martin Bryant, etc., was actually a conspiracy, that there were professional marksmen involved and Martin Bryant didn't actually kill all the people. He had assistants. Have you heard this story?
I have heard this story.
It's wild.
And that's why she's claiming, and that's why it was done to shut down the gun industry by John Howard, and there were government links. It's fanciful. I regret to report that early this morning on Triple M overnight, there were a few of our listeners are also in on this conspiracy. They're going,
really?
Yes. Yeah, and that's what happens. People believe this and that's fine. All right, so
okay.
Pauline's going to have trouble digging herself out of this, I think. So she's gone to ground. Okay, so the media know where she lives out the other side of Ipswich, and they camped out there yesterday, and Channel 10 yesterday afternoon on their news had this to report. So I don't want to go too deeply into the One Nation stuff, but this is Pauline, who has not been seen or heard from in the last few days.
Locked out and nowhere to be seen. As the biggest crisis to grip One Nation unfolds, its leader Pauline Hanson is lying low on her Queensland property, apparently bitten on the face by a tick.
Whoa!
Best excuse ever.
That
best
poor tick.
Excuse. That poor tick.
Could have landed anywhere.
How do you get bitten on the face by a tick?
I don't know. Now, normally they're grass ticks or seed ticks, they're called, and you go bushwalking and they go on you. They're normally on your leg.
Yeah, they're on your leg. I mean, even I don't, like, my dogs have had ticks and they've never been around the facial area because they go, don't they go for warm spots?
Yeah, well, my dog had one underneath its collar, you know, underneath the collar and the neck region, and that cost me, that's about, what, 6 months ago, that cost me $1,200 to fix that. You know, they said the dog's going to die. I can never believe that. So poor Pauline, I think we should probably say that. She could be with
what
the vet right now, they might be thinking about putting it down. I don't know. what happens to you? Well, it sucks. I can remember my mate had one on his neck. We went walking last year and he said, he got one on his neck and he said, is there something on my neck? Is something really itchy? And it was, a tick had burrowed down into there.
Oh, it's so gross.
Didn't your dog have one a while ago?
Yeah,
too,
no. My greyhound, absolutely. Hey. In fact, it was only a couple of months after Tony, my then husband, had died. And so it was absolutely imperative that this dog survive. And it was in those 24-hour overnight, you know, the emergency vet places, which costs an absolute mozza. And I walked in there and I said, I don't care. They saw me coming. I said, I don't care what it costs. You have to save this dog. I know, but my kids. Yeah, the dog lived. $5,000.
Oh, wow.
All right. Now,
I've spent that on some greyhounds that I wish died.
They ran like they were dead. All right, my mate, you know what? Because you're not supposed to. Oh, what aren't you supposed to do? There's lots of little tips. You're supposed to screw them counterclockwise and all this. He said just throw some, because we had nothing with us because we were out in the bush, throw toothpaste, and in the morning it had just given up the ghost. It had virtually choked the tick. Toothpaste.
What, you put toothpaste on the tick?
That's what I'm saying.
And it starts
Pauline,
to suck
if you're
it up.
Listening and you want me to come out there, I'm happy to smear you to toothpaste you.
Rub you down with some toothpaste.
Or can we actually talk ticks? Because we've got practical people and Pauline needs some help if she's got
she
a tick on her face.
Does.
Can we talk ticks? What happened and how much did it cost you a tick? They are such tiny little creatures, but they cause terrible havoc. Ticks. Talking ticks.
Well, lots of people want to talk about ticks. Mark of Cleveland, have you been bitten by a tick?
Yes, I've lived on the islands in the Redland Bay area, and the ticks outweigh humans and fleas outweigh humans 50 to 1.
Hold on, who did those stats?
We all did because we lived on the island.
Righto.
I've lost my dog to a paralysis tick. It was a border collie cross kelpie.
Oh.
I was bitten on the back of the neck with a paralysis tick, and it knocked me out for about 2 weeks.
What happened to you? Because when I know with my greyhound, the same deal, but the leg started to go and then it progressed up the back. Is that what happens to humans
That's
as well?
Exactly. Oh, not humans. No, it just knocks us out because we can. It deals with us differently for some unknown reason. The toxicity of a tick, when it basically they suck blood up, swell it around and put it back into our system. That's why they see them getting full, and then they just drop back into an empty prune or a raisin. But
That's
I end
gross.
Up having like a target. at first, people thought it was Lyme's disease because everyone associated Lyme's disease to ticks, but it's not. I had a welt in the centre of my back and the neck, a white area, and then another red inflamed area. So it looked like a target. And
God.
It knocked me out for 2 weeks.
Oh, so basically. You can feel Pauline's pain. You understand that this is no laughing matter.
Oh, no, it's no laughing matter. When it knocks you out, you're completely drained.
How did you get rid of it? Like, how did you get it out?
I had a friend that helped me out with it, but what we did with our animals was that you get a cotton bud, just a cotton, you know, cotton tips.
Yeah.
You can put anything on a fly spray or oil or anything. All you're doing is making it a like a lubricant and twirling it around the tick, and it starts working itself out.
Oh.
Oh, there's a tip we didn't know.
Well, I only knew about the toothpaste one. Thanks, Mark. It's quite serious.
Graham of Scarborough, what happened to you with the tick?
Well, I camp a lot and have been since a young kid, and so getting ticks quite common. Very, very simple way to get it off without costing any money. Just light a match. Light a match, let it burn out, and instantly as it's burned out, you put that tip of the match on the tick's head, and that tick will come out immediately or within a few seconds.
Oh, so burn it out.
We've always had dash hounds. They're a little pretty, you know, low to the ground. They pick up ticks pretty easily. Don't have to jump up high, the poor little tick, to get on the dash hound. So we started doing the dashies, and when I got ticks out camping, did it to myself. No issue, no money, and I'm pretty sure Pauline can afford a box of matches.
Oh, well, here's Pauline now.
Please explain.
Yeah, and you have. Thanks, Graham.
So give the redhead a redhead is what you're saying.
Now, I saw, just talking about dash hounds, I once saw a female dash hound who'd had a litter. Oh. There, you know how low they are?
Yeah.
The nipples on that, the human mum had to put Band-Aids because they were rubbing on the ground. It was the funniest thing ever.
Poor little dash hound.
It was the funniest thing ever. Anyway, that's not about
good on you. No, it's not. You've just been cruel to a poor...
I
just
remember seeing it.
Okay, Mark.
We're talking about conspiracy. Now it's dash hound nipples.
Triple okay, you're laughing. It? You should all be yellow carded. Marty of Mount Barney, morning.
Hello, how are you guys?
Yeah, Marty, great.
What happened with the tick, Marty?
Christmas last year, we went on a cruise, New Year's Eve cruise, and I picked up a tick that morning. Yeah. At home, didn't realise, found it on my top of my head that night on the cruise. So I went to the medical centre. Yeah. English nurses, South African doctor, never come across a tick before. So they rang the Royal Brisbane for advice, and they got told how to take it out, because I said, you have to take it out properly, because I know a lot about ticks, and they did.
Okay, they hang on. What's properly based on a medical take?
Oh, just so they get the little... the sucker thing that buries into your skin, they have to get that as well, not leave anything behind.
So they didn't use the match trick or the toothpaste or anything?
No, she used tweezers, but very pointy ones. And she showed it to me, and I've seen them before, so I said, yeah, you've got the lot. Anyway, she took a photo of it, sent it to the expert in the Royal Brisbane, and he said he identified it as a female paralysis tick.
Chicks
panicked and put me off the ship in Vanuatu. And I had to fly to New Caledonia, Noumea. Yeah. So I spent New Year's Eve and New Year's Day in Noumea Hospital, where they all speak French and I speak Aussie. So that was a great mix. And I came up fine because I did blood tests. And I got flown back and met my 9-day cruise. I spent 2.5 days...
I'm actually going to be counting down to New Year's any minute here, man.
Yeah. You're Marty. The big breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's big breakfast.
Let's talk recycling, because we can now add to the list of things that you're interested in. You can have the title of recycling evangelist, Greg Martin.
Twice I've been to the container for cash. Twice.
Okay, so how much did you get when you went this week?
First time 47, this time 39.
But how many bottles is that?
That's 390 bottles.
Oh. Marto?
Oh, some of them
are
cans.
470 the first time.
Yeah, so we've
eased up on the booze a bit, which is nice.
That's right.
Anyway, the Brisbane City Council are not happy with us. 96% of us want to recycle, but 94% are doing it wrong. So I've got four basic items. Yeah. I'm going to test you to know if you know how to recycle them properly. First one, pizza box.
Not recyclable.
Mm.
Yes, it is. Just take the food out. So it can't, the actual, you flatten the box, you've just got to make sure that all the food is removed from the inside. But 58% of us don't.
Brenda looks very upset with that.
The cheese and the residue.
But the residue.
Yeah, it's okay. Egg cartons.
Egg cartons, they're recyclable.
Beer or egg?
No, egg. And egg. But how do you do it?
Just throw them straight in the, you take the eggshells out and just throw it straight in the yellow bin.
Remove eggshells, flatten the carton. 73% of us don't do that. Plastic bottles, what do you do?
take the lids off and throw them in. Oh, no, put them in your cash for containers.
Hold on, let me guess. Squeeze all the air out. Waste another 15 seconds of your day.
Oh, stop it. Is that what they're saying?
Crush them.
Why? You don't have to.
Okay,
you asked
me how to do it properly.
The recycling plant. The balls of them to say they're the ones doing all the work when it's us crushing everything, flattening stuff. They're just there.
Let's go back to the egg carton. Are you supposed to just get all the air out of the egg carton?
Flatten it. Push it down. Well, this is what they want. Okay, it's a new don't waste your waste study was done, and this is how you're supposed to do it. Okay, foil.
Foil's not recycled.
60% of us don't do what we should do with aluminium foil.
Just throw it in the general waste.
No, scrunch it into a ball.
Landfill and
pivot.
What?
Yep.
And what?
Okay. And then that's what you do. You just scrunch it into a ball and it's recyclable.
Have you ever been to the dump on a Monday or Tuesday? Sorry, a refuse recycling transfer station?
No.
They just squash it all up there. They got these enormous machines.
This is how I know they're being pedantic down there. Yeah. Everything you said before foil, flatten it, flatten it, flatten it. Hmm. Hey, foil's flat. Nah, scrunch that up in a ball.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. I know there's been some great Trevors, Trevor Chappell, Trevor Marmalade, Trevor Gilmeister, but none has given to Outback Queensland as much as Trevor the Cyclone. Did you see on the news last night how joyous those people in West Central, especially Central West, they didn't get that rain earlier this year. They are all so happy. There were kids, they pulled out the kids. This kid's eight, he's never seen rain, and they're loving it.
Never seen it. A lot of water flowing.
Lovely.
Yeah?
Yes, we couldn't believe it.
I could paddle in my backyard. I could do laps.
I can't remember rain like this for years, I guess, and we all just keep going out the front, out the back of the store. We just keep looking at it, keep watching it.
Oh, that's so good.
That was the woman from the IGA. I saw her and she made me smile because they were saying that they thought they might actually lose their business. So they were kept walking outside going, yay, we're not going to.
Well, that's the thing. They're saying now all the graziers can make money. Now the towns will make money. And it all goes round and round. The kids, we're all having dinner together and we all had the biggest smile until I turned real narky when bloke came on. Okay, now he's from Blackall. And there was a time when, I'll tell you after I speak to him, but I drove from Brisbane to Darwin once with a mate of mine, okay, and I met this bloke.
Graham has spent 42 years working at the Blackall Bakery. He's contemplated selling up if the rains didn't come.
It'll be an end of an era, won't it?
Graham. I bought a curry pie one morning from Graham.
Hang on. How did you end up in Blackall buying a curry pie from
Graham? I was driving from Brisbane to Darwin. We were moving up. What? We moved up to me and my mate. We moved up to work in Arnhem Land. And that was we'd stopped at Tambo overnight about 8 a.m. I said, geez, I'm toey for our feed. He goes, I know there's a good bakery in Blackall. And it was there. The last time I've seen Graham. Graham was there from the Blackall Bakery. He made a curry pie. I don't reckon I made it 1.5 kilometres out of Blackall and out she went. I'm sure there's a pile of curry pies there. He should be out of... Can he sue me?
No, I don't think he should be out of business before now.
He made one of the worst pies I have ever tasted. That's the only sour note.
How long ago was that?
That was 21 years ago.
He was having a bad day. You can't have your mate who knew about the pies and said, you've got to have one, and then just one bad pie and
downpour. I'm happy for the West, but that bloke there, he needs out. Or maybe it's just his curry pot. Maybe I'll give it another go.
This is the man that tried coffee once.
Yes. It's
still my favourite story. When I started on the show, I was like, Marto, do you want a coffee? He goes, no, I had one once at a place in Italy that said it was the world's best coffee. I tried it and it wasn't so good, so I haven't had one since.
And what about the mocha story from last week?
Yeah, you guys tried to jam a coffee into me.
No one should drink mochas. We let Jack slide. One of the producers, Jack, he drinks a mocha because he's transitioning from thick shakes to coffee. You know what I mean? And that's what mochas are for, ground.
I'm getting the feeling that Graham makes a very good curry pie. And he might
might be me. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.